Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. It's another series win for the Braves. This is the Morning Shift. I am Big Papa Squid. You know me, Bo Morgan. I am he. He is I. Hey, she is the founder, the leader, and the first lady of baseball in Atlanta, of Allie's Army, Miss Allie Mack. And you know, he played in the NFL, and nobody cares. He was an All-American.
I agree.
He won a national title.
Couldn't agree more.
Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for. Johnson.
Penix.
And it is a Friday, right? Today's Friday.
It's a fair foul Friday.
Someone has to say Fry-yay, right?
Yeah.
No, we don't. No. Nope.
Fry-yay.
There we go.
Garrett, it is not our pleasure to hear that.
He did drop in my pleasure when he walked out of the room a minute ago.
I heard it on the Zoom.
Wait, did I?
Yes.
Garrett is literally, you know, when you create a character, like when you like would create your EA Sports college football player, right? Garrett would be like the template for if you were creating a Chick-fil-A employee.
Yeah. No, like, and there's been a lot of talk about Grand Theft Auto 6. Like, if they have a Chick-fil-A in that, they definitely design that character around Garrett.
And use his likeness.
That joke at this point's kind of been worn out, but it could not be more applicable.
It's new for Allie, though, so we bring it back up.
It is new for me, but there's no way that Chick-fil-A would sign off on that, right, being in Grand Theft Auto?
No, they wouldn't.
No, it would have to be like a knockoff Chick-fil-A. Like, you know, it would kind of be like.
Yeah, what would they call it? Like,
You know how White Castle and Crystal are literally very much the same in a lot of ways? Yeah, it could be like that.
They would call it Filet-O-Chicken.
Filet-O-Chicken.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
They would be on with it. Anyways.
All right. Look, business of this, all right? Because we got a little bit. You know, one Grant McCauley was down at the stadium yesterday. He has some stuff on Spencer Strider, maybe his return, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's talk about what happened last night, because I first off, Braves win 5-4. Thank you, Drake Baldwin. The Braves catcher spot has been clutch at times this year, and we are getting everything we need from Drake Baldwin. But the Braves win, and I want to start from the top of the game, because Spencer Schwellenbach was more of the Spencer Schwellenbach we've come to know. Six innings pitch, he gave up five hits, but only one earned run, six Ks, only two balls. If I told you something, remember the panic we've had about Schwellenbach?
Who was panicking?
Well, I've heard.
Okay. I mean,
even you were like, well, he's not been himself lately. A little worried about
it. He just got a little off track. It wasn't a full-on panic.
Not being himself. Allie, does that count as a panic?
Not quite. I'm just checking.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Well, I've heard from others too that they're panicked.
It's a they thing.
It's a
I realize I didn't even think about this, but as bad as we feel like it's been because of how great he started, he just notched his sixth quality start in his eight starts this season. Mm. So maybe back off that he needs to get right trained because he ain't wrong. Okay.
Okay.
That's my dude. Anyways, I mean, Allie, you'll quickly know, and you already probably found out. I am. Like, when A.J. Minter left, he was my spirit animal on this team. Spencer Schwellenbach took it over. Maybe not the spirit animal part, but he is my favorite dude from the mound on this team. And he gave you exactly what you needed. And you still almost found a way to lose this game.
Yeah. I thought he was great last night. Obviously, man, and look, it is what it is. He has always been a guy that's pounded the zone. I wondered if in his last few starts if that had really – you know, you get this thing where guys start pitching and they hit like the year mark and you're like, okay, is the book out on them? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's panicky to ask. I think that's just what you talk about when you talk about baseball teams and starting pitchers. it's like, all right, they know he's going to go at the zone. They know he's not a guy that's really going to kind of, you know, nip and tuck at the edge of the plate. And he's always kind of been that guy since we had John Smoltz on last year talking about it. It's like he's one of those guys that is going to challenge you with a big repertoire inside the strike zone. I wondered if that, you know, had really kind of started to bite him lately because they were jumping on pitches early in counts. They were getting to him. They knew he was going to pound the zone. But I thought he did a great job last night of keeping guys off balance. I don't know that he nipped and tucked any more than normal, but where the Reds are at offensively right now is probably a lot like the Braves, to where you don't know what you're going to get on any given night. And I think that he did a good job last night at least keeping them off balance.
Yeah. If anything, it might have been what he was pounding the zone with and not so much that he was pounding the zone.
Pause.
Because I think, and what I mean by that is obviously switching up which pitches you're starting guys off with and that kind of stuff. I think that's where those books come into play. We can ask Grant about it later because to me it's just keeping off balance with what you're throwing. And it's not the strikes as much as what you're actually, you know, what pitch selection you're using. It gets a little sideways a little bit. You're down 4-2 going into the ninth, and then things kind of come back for you. You know, you get some hits. Eli White gets on. Michael Harris had his best game from the plate in maybe all season.
Yeah, at least it was definitely the most clutch. No doubt about that.
Game in a 5-for-40 stretch.
Yeah.
Ooh. Went 3-for-5, Mike.
Yeah, that'll work. And honestly, I'd be lying if I didn't say my stomach kind of sank when he came up in a couple of big in a couple of big spots.
Everybody kind of had that feeling. And I have to say, you know, your guy is Schwellenbach, Bo. My guy is Rysel. And so when we got that 2-run homer last night on his bobblehead night, which Grant did bring me a bobblehead of Rysel.
He did?
Good hubby.
Boy, Grant.
I was like, no, it can't be my guy that this happens to.
Yeah. I'm with you, though. When Michael Harris came up a couple of times, the guys that you're used to not coming through came through last night, and the guys they're used to leaning on probably fell off a little bit. You know what I mean? There were just certain situations last night that you didn't see coming. And look, I thought there was a number of things, Bo, to your point. You did have the Eli White sack bunt there in the ninth inning to bring a runner home. I thought that was a beautiful thing. I know there was some back and forth about whether or not that was a good idea, but – dude, I thought that for, you know, a day after, we wondered about some of Brian Snicker's decisions, I thought he pushed all the right buttons last night.
Yeah, I saw some second guessing of him last night, but that's just, everybody's a Major League Baseball manager in their own mind. I thought he did pretty good last night. Pierce Johnson he used at one point. Guys, Pierce Johnson has retired, and I know one of you knows this, but 25 straight batters he has retired at, you know, in his last 8 1/3 innings. And as much as I've heard a lot of criticism about AA lately because of the moves we didn't make in the offseason, he continues to be masterful with these midseason pickups, or in-season pickups I should say. It's not really midseason yet. Scott Blewett gave you 2 innings last night.
Yeah.
And they're not easy innings, Allie. I mean, he's starting it with that stupid ass ghost runner, and he's not allowing runs.
And I will say, too, and you guys, let me know if you saw this one coming. The Montero coming in a one-run game as well, I thought was a little bit shocking. And those two guys, I think, at this point, Montero and Blewett, are probably the two last guys in your bullpen. Correct me if I'm wrong. And one of those guys, and I can't wait to ask Grant this coming up at 8:40 today, one of those guys, when Craig Kimbrell is done marinating, mm-hmm. is probably going to be on the chopping block. And last night, both of them were in massive situations.
I would dare to say it's Montero. I think Blewett is right now your best long relief option.
After last night, he definitely is.
Well, last night, I mean, if he had not gone into the game, we lose that game.
Yeah,
he saved
point.
It.
It's a good point.
I agree, but I don't even think it was last night. I go back to that first start, guys. Remember when he had to have that that spot start?
And, yeah, like the day after he signed.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be the air quote opener, and I think it was. I don't know if it was Mike, it was you or Grant. One of y'all tweeted, "Are
Grant.
You really an opener if you go like 3 innings?"
Yeah, it was Grant. I retweeted it. I was like, "Good point."
Okay,
man.
That's what it was. I knew it connected you two, and I was like, "That's such a good point." Because you're the starter there. And, Allie, you're right, he did save the game. He came in twice. He had 2 innings where there's guys on base. And, Gil, let's go to it, though. Drake Baldwin. I tweeted this last night. They literally pitched around Eli White last night.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To get to Michael Harris.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then Harris. I'm not gonna go at him because he was 3 for 5, and he's the only reason why he was in that opportunity because of his clutchness earlier in the game. But he doesn't. And then Drake Baldwin, and he was that oppo. I don't want to call it a slap hit, but they were. I think it was the sweeper they kept throwing at him, and then he finally got his pitch, and he just slapped it away and just got through. And that was such a big moment for a young player. I almost tweeted this, too, because I'm sitting there, and I was like, I don't even feel like picking up my phone now. I'm just going to enjoy the win for once. But I was like, how can you not love Drake Baldwin?
Yeah.
His face when they were all celebrating, it was just unbelievable. Pure joy. If you need to see some pure joy
elation.
Today. Yes. Check him out. And they put a double bubble helmet on his head, the bucket on his head. And he wore it like a crown. And you know his mom was just thinking, all those lessons. And you're on TV with a double bubble helmet.
Yeah. You know what's funny, too? And you brought up Sean Murphy had a big hit going the opposite way, earlier in the game that was big to bring people home. And obviously, you know, both those guys as catchers, you've brought up, Bo, that you rely on both those spots. I thought it was worth talking about, too. And like I said, both opposite field hits. I thought that was a big thing. How many times have we, you know, we've heard cuts of Chipper Jones talking about guys need to, you know, I don't remember what logo it was, like Superior Plumbing or something at the opposite field. They're like, guys just don't do that anymore. We saw guys walking last night. We saw two different attempts at sack bunts, although one of them didn't work out. And we, you know, I've talked about Tom Blue in the face. You had like 3 sack bunts 2 years ago, the entire season. Mm-hmm. To see 2 in one night was insane.
Yeah, well, that's how – look, this is where we got to give Snit credit. He's adapting to
exactly.
The team that's on the field. Also, let's not miss the Matt Olson's play.
Right.
That he comes down on that bunt and throws it to third. That was a phenomenal play. He was so quick there, so accurate with his throw that throw beat the runner there by like 2 seconds, it felt like.
Yeah.
And I know it wasn't that long. And real quick, the Drake Baldwin throw down, and I give Ozzie, who's been brutal in the field and at the plate – he stuck with that tag, and the runner came off base. That was the right call, by the way.
Ding. I agree with you. I also thought when Alex Verdugo got thrown out at home that the game, I was like, it's just not meant to be.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be.
It was bad.
I had roller coaster of emotions last night. You're going to have roller coaster emotions throughout the show today. We have so much fun coming up, guys. We'll hit Front Page next, talk a little bit about these NBA playoffs. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Mike Johnson, Miss Allie Mack, Squidbilly, Bo Morgan. I guess this is we'll get to see you on Monday. Is that what we're talking about, Bo? Get to hang out with you here?
If you're lucky.
The sultry sounds of one bad mood Bo in the morning. Sultry sounds.
I'm I was contemplating. Maybe I'll stay at home another week.
Might just be a remote worker from here on out.
Dude, I would You know what I did yesterday for the first time since before Pork Chop was born? Not that.
I don't know.
Get your mind out of the gutter. I filled my truck up.
Wow.
I had this thought about you this morning because I had to fill my tank on the way in. I was like, Bo hasn't had to do this in a while. And then I was like, wait, well, he's spending money on a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what's funny is, Allie, you just nailed it completely. Yesterday, I was driving to – I get my gas at Sam's up here because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to Sam's to get a couple things, chocolate-covered almonds, who, by the way,
ding,
have gone up like $5 since I started buying them. I actually said something like in the middle of the store that I'm like, hope nobody recognizes me. I don't want to sound like that guy. So I was like, what do they do, put tariffs on the almonds? Because, I mean, where the $5 come from? But anyways, I digress. I was frustrated with my price of them, but I still bought them because, man, they're so good. But I filled up the Friday before Pork Chop was born.
Mm. Whoa.
And, just in case.
And, Allie, that includes a trip to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the hospital. But the hospital and Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the draft. And still drove it to 100 miles with an empty.
Dang.
Just little short trips here and there, like the gym and the grocery store and stuff.
Wow.
So, unbelievably cool. But, but yeah, I thought I was gonna save all that, you know, save all this money, and my account look like it does when I'm driving. So that means I'm scared now of what it's gonna look like when I'm not.
Dude, I keep telling people, like, I can't wait till my kids get out of daycare. Daycare is outrageous. I mean, it is out freaking outrageous to put your kids in daycare. And I've got two in daycare right now. And I'm like, man, my son's going to another year, an extra year daycare because he's an August birthday. So he's got one more year until he goes to kindergarten. And I'm like, man, I can't wait. And every single other parent's like, dude, it does. You don't stop spending money. It just turns into something else. You know what I mean? They start playing Little League. Or you have a little bit left over, so you put it in college fund or whatever it may be. Like, it just rolls into another category.
Does your daycare rival your mortgage at this point?
Oh, it's more.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah. My daycare is definitely more than one mortgage, for sure.
Oh,
no. Yeah, by triple digits. Yeah, it's completely out of control. It really, really is.
That's why whenever you see, and I know this isn't like the place you go, but whenever you see these stories on the news where they, you know, they're not handling their business right and kids are being mistreated. I'm like, imagine, I mean, I would be, not only would I be just so angry because it's like my kid, but you're, you know, the money you pay for those things.
Right.
I mean,
you're like, dude, it's college tuition for the money I'm giving you. You know what I mean? You better treat them right. Man.
No way.
Speaking of this exact category, we do have a treat for you guys coming up at 8 o'clock today. Miss Amy Morgan and Miss Lindsey Johnson will square off, I guess, in fair foul. Allie will be hosting that, so we'll get a little Mother's Day edition with the wives, man. So that'll be interesting. And then, you know, just about 30 minutes after that, and I joked to Allie this morning, not as much fun when the rabbit's got the gun. We'll have Grant on at 8:40, so she better not cross either one of us because we will get to cross-examine Grant McCauley about 30 minutes after that. So keep that in mind.
Well, I hope everyone wore their deodorant today because I just feel like we're all going to be a little bit nervous.
Get a little clammy in here. Yeah. A little clammy, a little airflow.
Luckily for y'all don't have to smell me if I didn't.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyways, man, we're going to get all that. We've got such a fun show ahead. Right now, Big G, let's hit the front page. Spencer Strider, still on the mend. We got some good content from him. This is Spencer Strider talking about, hey, man, just got to trust the process.
That's hard for me to say. In my perfect world, we wouldn't be throwing another bullpen. But, again, you know, it's probably a good thing that I'm not making the decision. So, I, of course, feel bad taking another 5 minutes, let alone another week or 2 weeks. But, like I said, I need to let the long-term vision and the people who are more capable of making that plan have that control, and just do what I can within those parameters on a daily basis. So,
when he came back with that first start, like it was the last start before that when he was in Gwinnett. So I was talking to somebody and they were like, "Well, I don't understand why he's making one more start." I said, "Because you don't rush things like this back." And then he makes a start, and all of a sudden, you know, he pulls something. They might not be related, Mike, but the one thing I do know about, you know, things is when you're not sure of something or you are kind of subconsciously, you know, compensating for one thing when it's a mechanics-like issue, something else goes wrong or something else gets leaned on more where it tweaks it or you know, like in golf where you're worried about one part of your swing and then you mess up the other part because you're compensating, and that's what I feared. I love the fact they're taking it easy with him. The starting pitching has really been pretty good the last 2.5 weeks, I would say, even without him. And now I hear rumors that they are going there's one show on this radio station that every time they say something and it comes to fruition, they're listening. Well, they're listening, Mike, because now they're going to do a 6-man rotation, apparently, like I've been saying to do all freaking year. Thank you. I digress.
Allie, I hope you're getting settled in 2 weeks in to just get used to this, okay? Because this is my man is full of just bravado when it comes to things like this. He doesn't mind going there. I do want to get one more cut of Spencer Strider, and he was asked, "Look, man, what's next?"
We've had some conversations. I, for better or worse, feel ready to go. So, fortunately, it's probably fortunate that's not in my hands entirely. So we're gonna throw a bullpen on Saturday in Pittsburgh and kind of make a decision from there as to what we do next. But like I said, having kept throwing, I think that makes things, you know, a little bit easier to map out. So we've got to take it, you know, day by day. I know it's cliche, but I've been instructed that that's the right thing to do. So yeah, so that's where we're at.
It is cliche to take it day by day, but I don't know about either of you guys. I'm kind of shocked that He's been out this long?
Mm-hmm.
When we were like, oh, you know, a little tweak in the hammy. And I'm sitting there going, well, yeah, it's because his massive quads. Like, things are out of balance. You know what I mean?
Well, and I feel like they're just being overly cautious with every single person that gets injured because of last year. We just don't want that repeating itself. So, and we've got good momentum. So yeah. Take your time. Take it day by day.
If he throws Saturday, he could come back, if a little bullpen session, he could come back, Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah.
I mean, I would target maybe Thursday. It's a day game. You could push AJ back a day before you go to, that's at Washington, before
sure.
you go to Boston. So
it'll be curious to see what they do. And you know, Snicker was asked, hey, six-man rotation, to your point, Bo, it's like, everything's on the table. You know what I mean? At this point, don't really care what we got to do. So it is what it is. Real quick, before we get to NBA playoffs, update last night from Allie. Bo, you got your wish. Tyrese Haliburton was warned about his celebration. So there you go, man. I know that you had a massive problem with it, which I think is ironic because usually you're the one that gets mad when they get warned for things like this. But nonetheless, it is what it is. He got warned about a celebration. He's like, I knew it was coming.
Well, he said he would happily take that fine.
Yes.
Look, the reality situation is if he had done the suck it, I'd have been like, yeah.
To what? Come on, dude.
Listen, hear me out. Hear me out. I think all kids know what the suck it sign means these days. But the big testicular fortitude, so to speak, just kind of like, I mean, now you got to explain it to your kid. I don't know.
Check this guy out.
I think
Allie, did you hear that?
Part of my problem is I think he's a great player, and he has been clutch as hell in these playoffs. But your dad's acting like a clown, and now you are. And at some point, just take it back a notch. Because the NBA is probably like, hey, man, why is the Haliburton family causing us all these problems? We're just trying to have a great playoffs.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I didn't have a problem with it when it happened. I think it was probably right at the NBA for the warning. I didn't think there was a fine or anything like that needed. But here's where we find ourselves, man, and I'm good with it. I'm not going to link this man to his dad. I don't want to be associated with everything my parents have ever done.
That's
so it is
true.
What it is. You
That's
know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Allie, the Timberwolves and Warriors were in action last night. Fun
yeah,
game.
Yeah, we only had one game last night for the NBA playoffs. Timberwolves slipped right by the Warriors to even the series in game two. Golden State is feeling the effects of Steph Curry being injured. And Minnesota actually had a scare, too, when Anthony Edwards went down with an ankle injury in the second quarter. But he came back after halftime, finished the game with 20 points, and Julius Randle led the way with 24 points, 11 assists, and 7 rebounds. Final score, 117-93, and Game 3 is scheduled for Saturday.
Yeah, never really in doubt. That was scary when I'm a huge Ant-Man fan. And dude shows up every time I see him showing up at the arena, he's got a Braves hat on. So I love, and you know, he's a Georgia kid, and I love that. You know, every time the Warriors need Draymond Green to be the guy, and not the guy, so to speak, but kind of be that glue, that leader, he folds under the pressure, basically.
Yeah.
He did again last night with his little temper tantrum after he was fouled, starts throwing elbows, Steph tries to calm him down, and it's just enough is enough. Like, when Steph Curry gives you the look like that, you know it's you.
Well, I want to throw to this sound, too. Here's Steve Kerr talking about, hey, man, had to sit him down at some point.
Yeah, I could see, you know, he had gotten pretty upset, and I just didn't want him to get another technical. So I took him out at that point, and I know he's going to have to be careful now. He's, is he two techs away?
Five techs and two flagrants, and so it's 7-4.
So two more techs, he'll be suspended.
Or two more flagrants, right?
Yeah, so... He's going to have to stay composed. Obviously, we need him.
The Warriors are 9 games into the playoffs. They've played 9 games. He's already got 5 techs and 2 flagrants.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
I mean, and look, and I heard some of his comments last night. He's right on some things. He is a great basketball player, and he is a smart dude, but he loses his mind. And. It's over and over. He cost them a title doing this crap.
Yeah, it's not shocking, I think, for some people to see it. You will get Cavs Pacers tonight. That's 7:30. The Pacers are heading that series to zero. So a lot of conversation about that. I'm sure we'll break into later in the show. A lot of fun on this Fair or Foul Friday. When we come back, we'll have Allie's rookie report, which was such a delight last week, Allie. I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun once again. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mike Johnson, Squidbilly, Allie Mack. It's going to get to her rookie report here in just a second. Week two with Allie Mack. I haven't scared her off yet. As a matter of fact, we're going to entrust her with talking to our wives later on in the show, which I think for Bo is a little bit terrifying. My wife, you know, she knows the deal, man. She knows not to get too out of pocket.
Yeah, she knows if she gets out of pocket, you'll cut off her gambling trips.
She went and played Mahjong again last night. but no, she was, it was after the children were in bed.
So far, Allie, Mike's house and my house with kids are like polar opposites.
Well, and here's the thing, and I'm the first one to give credit where credit's due. You got to understand, I have two toddlers at home. I got a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old. I'm not home in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Right.
Like, ever. I'm never there for, like, wake up, getting them dressed, getting them to daycare, getting all this. It's like my wife has an entire sector of her life that I'm not involved in, and you know, as a mom. And so I have to give her credit where credit's due. And when she needs a couple hours off, that's just where I have to step up and shine. I can't be there in the morning. So anybody that deals with a situation like that, it's like, dude, I know when she, you know, it's like the football player that's, you know, it's like a football player that gets gassed because they've been in for a long drive. They look at the sideline, they tap their helmet. They're like, dude, I got to come out. Sometimes she's got to tap the helmet, dude. It's just craziness.
Yeah, I give you a hard time because it's funny and, you know, it's just it's us going back and forth. And I know that Lindsay is not sensitive.
She does
take that stuff to heart. But I commend you for it. It's really why Amy and I have gotten our schedule. And I think she gets worried. She's like, I think you're going to get burnt out because, you know, you're doing nice. I'm like, no. Like I was like, you have no clue how great it is for me to be when I get off the air, you know, and I can have some time. Like mm-hmm. the fact that I want you ready to go for another day and you can handle that is great. And we were just talking about it the other day, like what our schedule is going to look like when she does go back to work. And it's kind of scary. It's kind of like reality. Like we're in a honeymoon phase right now with Pork Chop.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought about it and I was like, oh boy.
Well, it's definitely an adjustment for everybody, man. I'm sure you guys will bring it in. And I'm sure we'll talk to Amy later on at 8 o'clock about some of that stuff as well. Got Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. I hope that Bo at this point's gotten a gift. We don't know. That is neither here nor there, and we won't ask Amy about that.
I think I've heard enough of this. I'm gonna tell you what. I don't like y'all trying to put me in a spot that I'm in a no-win situation, and I'm.
Well, you put
win.
Yourself in that spot.
Yeah, the timeline of your life has put you in a no-win situation.
Yeah. That's I don't know what you're talking about. Like, we didn't do anything. That was all you. It's all good. We will try not to judge you any further.
I had to plan this out. We couldn't have a baby during football season.
Of course not.
I mean.
Look, speaking of the new kid bump that you get in your life when you get that little honeymoon phase of Pork Chop, how about the fired coach bump? We got in this conversation yesterday off the air and having this conversation about Derek Shelton, the Pirates manager, who will face off with the Atlanta Braves tonight. They fired their manager, Derek Shelton, yesterday, and I was like, sure, they'll get the fired coach bump. I personally don't see that as a thing in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a different tactical, you know, approach by whoever's going to take over. But as far as, like, players really digging in, to me in baseball, you just have it or you don't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you weren't hitting before the manager got fired, I don't know what about your timing is suddenly going to line up. I think in football it's a thing because I think you can always dig a little bit deeper on the aggression, on the effort, things like that, playing to the whistle. That's just not a thing in baseball, though.
I disagree. I think any time that your leader is sent back, and you know it's the same with when there's a trade that happens and it either shakes up a team and kind of puts people on notice or brings in new life, it kind of gives you a jolt. And I think when the guy that you you answer to every day is sent back, and you're a bunch of guys, I mean, first off, they fired their own person. The owner should have fired his own ass because they spent under $20 million in free agency this year. They spent under $20 million. They thought
they've
their plan.
They've always been that team, too.
Excuse me?
I said, yeah, and they've always been that team. Yeah. It's frustrating for Pirates fans.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys saw this. Garrett might have seen this, and or Allie, you might have saw it as well. Their opening day, and I mean the home opener, decided it would be a good idea to walk around the stadium. And the fans hammered him. They came at him. They were telling him to sell the team. Why didn't you spend money? It's one of the most beautiful settings in all of baseball as far as home parks. And the river right there, I mean, it is an absolute park.
Mm-hmm.
And now they hammered him. That's who should have been, who should be held to, you know, his feet to the fire instead of the manager who gets fired. But I do believe there is a bump. And look, we might not see it. We don't have to face Skeens great. We miss him. So it does line up right for the end. I know Garrett mentioned the other day, you can do what you didn't do against Colorado. But this is just garbage to me. This whole organization is garbage.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that maybe there could have, but this firing was kind of meaningless. My dad is a diehard Pirates fan. He's from Pittsburgh.
Didn't see that one coming.
Bless his heart. he called me yesterday. He's like, I got a hot tip for you, and told me about the firing and stuff. And I was like, how do you feel about it? He's like, it's not going to change anything. Nothing changes.
Yeah. It's just a deep pit misery. Garrett, real quick, you got your Leo Messi jersey on today. I'm curious if you think a fired manager bump happens in soccer. We saw it a little bit with the United last year, right? But it didn't just come out of the box.
Well, to y'all's point, I mean, like, it's not as much an effort thing in baseball as it is in soccer, all these basketball. I mean, there's a little bit different sort of mentality in baseball. But ironically, Allie Mack, my mom also is from Pittsburgh.
Okay. Wow.
She's a Pirates fan. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend's a Pirates fan. And her dad lives in Pittsburgh and has season tickets, and he's going to the games all weekend. So, but
bless
as far as,
their hearts.
Yeah, seriously, bless their hearts indeed. But no, I don't think that there's necessarily a new manager bump in the same way, Paul. But their ownership is also just an absolute disaster. Grant and I talked a little bit about the brick situation that they have, where they uprooted a bunch of season ticket holder bricks.
Yeah.
And then they just put them in a warehouse, and nobody knows where they are right now.
I mean, those fans that they do have
paid for
those.
They paid for them to be a part of PNC Park for the rest of its existence.
Yeah.
And then they uprooted. And you also have the Roberto Clemente situation where they removed for some
put an ad.
Spearmint gum or something like that.
It's
an advertisement that $1.50 for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. The whole thing, top to bottom, they're a disaster. Plus, you have Paul Skeens, and you don't put any money into the organization. It's an absolute dumpster fire in Pittsburgh. Those fans deserve better, and really that entire city does.
Yeah, hopefully the Braves can come out with a sweep this weekend. Look, my dad is a Cubs fan, so we'll get into coming up at 7:40 about a little bit about this back and forth with the new Pope. I don't know if you guys have seen this, about whether or not he's a Cubs fan or a White Sox fan. And finally, a lot of people were trying to get to the root of that issue yesterday. That'll be at 7:40. Look, and coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to hear from some of the Falcons rookies that joined Dukes and Bell yesterday. Right now, though, Allie, we're going to hear from our rookie. You got a little bit of a report to end our week here.
Yeah, this is my second week joining you guys here on the morning shift. So I do have some more observations in my rookie report.
Thick skin on, because I felt a little attacked last week, but here we go.
So first point I have is the chemistry that you hear on the air between Bo and Mike. That does not stop as soon as the mics are cut off, because they're so intertwined, they cannot sleep on the same night and are texting each other, can't sleep, can you?
Yeah. Hey, man. Hey, shoot me a wake-up call. Wait a minute, not at 8 o'clock?
Man.
You mean at 4? Oh, okay. Bo is, and I will say this too, because my wife and I have had to have this conversation. Bo is on my emergency contacts. So, because I sleep on Do Not Disturb.
Right. Okay.
And, if there's ever a point where he's got to be like, hey, you got to wake up.
Right.
Like, he's on the emergency contacts, so it'll get through. But there have been times because of that I'll get a text, from Bo at like 10 o'clock when he's late going to sleep, and my phone's like, titty. My wife's like, freaking turn your phone off. Can't believe it. I'm like, it's Bo. Just calm down. It's Bo. Okay.
You know, it's funny, Mike, is you've told me that before. And I think it was either last night or two nights ago, and I was going to text you something.
Yeah.
And as I hit to go send, I go, it's kind of late. Lindsay might yell at him. And so I didn't.
That's so thoughtful.
Such a good point, Allie. Yeah, it's such a good point. It is it's been a fun 2 years, just put it that way.
The next thing I've really noticed, and I guess I've known this since 2008 about you, Bo, is that you're extremely animated. And it is not fair for only Mike and I to be seeing all your mannerisms when you are giving your opinions these harsh, harsh opinions.
He's got. And I call it my wife. I call it hibachi hands when she's talking. It's just like straight up, like she's cooking on the flat top, like on the griddle. He very much has like a Saban at the podium where, but it's more of like an Italian thing almost. You know, it's like really. I'm with you, man. The hands are animated from Whopper hands. They're not big, but they'll come at you.
They move fast. They get me in trouble. It gets me in trouble because I am animated and it's natural. But it does. People think that I am more intense than I really am, or I'm mad and I'm not. If I speak, I care. And I can't shut it off, Allie. Sorry.
My favorite, though, is when you're almost doing like a foul call and your arms are up when you're proclaiming a statement. It's
Speaking
amazing.
Of which, last night there was a little bit of misinterpretation. Y'all see the umpire at third base getting out of the way and throws his arms up. Snicker's like, wait, what just happened?
Was that a foul?
Why did you just call that a foul ball? He's like, nah, it's my bad. My bad. Yeah, that's definitely Bo at third base, yeah.
Well, Mike, my next observation is for you. It's that you suffer from the same ailment that a few of us radio pros do.
Uh-oh.
You have the fear of silence.
Is that what it is?
It is, because you're always needing something on in the background. I get it, because silence to me, I suffer from the same thing. Silence to me is dead air, and that
it
means
is.
Something.
It's silence is deafening.
It's awful.
Silence is deafening.
I absolutely hate it, and I don't understand anyone that says it's refreshing.
And that's the thing, is like, you know, my wife and I, we started dating. She's like, I don't understand why you're sleeping with the TV on. And I'm like, because it's not distracting. It's distracting me from my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. Like when the TV's off, when it's just air, I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I'm in just a deep conversation with myself about like, you know, what's the next home project I'm going to do? Am I going to take the kids on vacation? Like it's just a million miles an hour. When there's a show on in the background, I'm just like, you know what, man, I can relax. I can move off of this. So yeah.
You can shut it off.
There you go.
At night, silence is brutal, but I'm not afraid to just sit there, watch TV, and I guess it's still not silence,
see?
But, you know.
There you go.
You have it too, Bo, because you're a radio
you just
pro.
Just talked yourself through it, that a boy.
I did it without my hands, though.
So if you have any kind of ailment here at 92.9 The Game,
oh, man.
Every single person is going to give you advice.
Yeah,
Mike was dealing with gout this week.
Yeah, it's not an old man disease, Garrett, okay?
Everybody had an opinion.
Yeah, I think Garrett thought it was the Black Plague or something like that. You know what I mean? Like he thought I was going down, dude.
Contagious, Garrett. Yeah.
No, man, but it, you know, everybody's trying to help. And I will say, and we've talked about this before, I've been around Steak since like the first day I was ever on radio, and he's always tried to look out for me. It's one of the reasons I love Steak and Sandra. And he straight up told me, he's like, dude, you got to go see a doctor. I'm like, I'll be all right tomorrow. The next day, I couldn't even move. And I was like, dude, I don't even want to talk to Steak because I know he's just going to tell me he told me so.
Wait till you get the bursitis in your elbow like him. Then you're really in trouble.
He's got gout in his elbow, too. That's a thing. I don't know anybody else that gets it in the elbow.
I got to give Steak a shout out because I text him. And I need to hit my listener back. I had a listener, but my guy read about, he had a question about a steakhouse in Atlanta. And Steak's like, yeah, it's not my place, but here's the 411 on it. And I was like, wow. When someone leaves with it's not my place, but they know so much detail. I mean, that guy's Mr. Food.
No Revol on the Atlanta
Food Eats,
scene.
Baby.
Anything else, Allie?
One quick one before we go out. The morning shift in general.
Okay.
The most difficult segment we have.
Okay.
Top 5 Tuesday.
Yes.
If you have some kind of critique about it, you have to have a subtraction. A subtraction. You cannot just have an addition.
Yes. You have to actually add 1 + 1
yes.
minus 1. You know, it's got to be an equation. Anyways, nice work. A lot of fun. We're going to hear from some of the Falcons rookies. Not our rookie, but the Falcons rookies on the other side of the break. Jack Nelson, the least talked about draft pick, the 7th round offensive tackle. He said something yesterday that I'm going to tell you guys, kind of perked me up a little bit. I'm just going to tell you, we'll hear from that on the other side of the break. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.